Hello, this is your Polycast for Tuesday, January 29th. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. Activity in the presidential campaign is picking up. Minnesota supporters of Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama announced that the Illinois senator will campaign in the state this Saturday. Minnesota Public Radio's Tim Pugmire reports.
Obama is scheduled to appear at a campaign rally in the Twin Cities on Saturday, February 2nd, but the time and location have not yet been decided. Minnesota's precinct caucuses are among two dozen contests on Super Tuesday, February 5th. Minneapolis Mayor R.T. Ryback, who heads Obama's Minnesota campaign, says he expects the Saturday event to draw thousands of supporters.
We want as many people as possible to get there, but we're not going to try to build a crowd for that event. It's a place for people to go, we're building a crowd for caucus night. That's our goal.
Democrat John Edwards will also campaign in Minnesota this week. He's scheduled to appear at a St. Paul Union Hall Tuesday evening. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Janet Huckabee was in Minnesota Monday campaigning for her husband, former Arkansas Republican Governor Mike Huckabee. Huckabee says her husband is committed to winning the GOP nomination.
We're going to go all the way to the convention, and Minnesota's delegates are non-binding, which means at convention they can vote for anybody. And I think we're going to see a lot of people making some changes and taking this all the way to the wire at the convention.
Huckabee says she's not sure whether her husband will visit Minnesota before Super Tuesday. Texas Congressman Ron Paul is the first Republican to run TV and radio ads in Minnesota. His campaign said in a news release that the ads will focus on the economy and on Paul's Republican record. The campaign did not disclose how large the ad buy is. Well, all this is happening as Minnesota's precinct caucuses approach next week. For the Democratic U.S. Senate candidates, the caucuses are key to winning the DFL endorsement to run against Republican Senator Norm Coleman. The campaigns want to get their supporters to the caucuses because some of the people who will attend them will eventually end up as delegates at the DFL state endorsing convention in June. Minnesota Public Radio's Mark Zedeklik has more about what the candidates are doing to get out their supporters.
All four of the candidates vying for the DFL Senate endorsement have promised to drop out of the contest if one of the others wins the backing of party activists at the state convention. For the best chance of getting state convention delegates, candidates Mike Cerisi, Al Franken, Jack Nelson Pallmeyer, and Jim Cohen must convince their supporters to show up at the caucuses. Andy Barr is with the Franken campaign, which formally launched its Senate bid nearly 1 year ago. Barr says the caucuses will be a real-life test of the campaign's statewide organizations.
We've been reaching out aggressively to people that, you know, have told us that they support Al and saying, hey, you know, we're really excited that you're supporting the campaign. Here's a thing that even if you've never done it before, you should know is the most important thing you can do right now to send Al to Washington is to come out and caucus on February 5th.
In hopes of moving people from supporters to delegates, the campaigns have been holding caucus training sessions.
So, just a quick poll. How many of you are going to be caucusing for the first time? Raise your hands.
Wow.
Woo-hoo! Get yourself a hand. All right.
Over the weekend, Franken supporters jammed into a conference room at his St. Paul headquarters to learn how caucuses work.
Precincts are your smallest unit of electoral politics. They're essentially your neighborhood. And precinct caucus meetings are those meetings you get together with your neighbors who share your partisan persuasion, and you talk about where you want the party to go.
Mike Cerisi's campaign is offering similar training. Both campaigns are distributing videos about the caucuses.
Cerisi for Senate.
And they're fielding a lot of caucus-related questions at their headquarters. Some Twin Cities area activists say Cerisi has been focusing his efforts on likely delegates in greater Minnesota at the expense of spending time with them. The Cerisi campaign acknowledges a greater Minnesota focus initially, but says it began holding numerous events in the metro area as well around the end of October. Carrie Greeley is Cerisi's campaign manager.
What we started doing when we announced in April and through last summer and into the fall is put a lot of emphasis on greater Minnesota to get out there while the weather's good and spend time with the likely delegates out there because they're generally the same people again and again. But we're doing extremely well in the cities.
The Cerisi and Franken campaigns have spent nearly $500,000 on metro area television ad time, and their commercials are running outside of the Twin Cities as well.
I'm Al Franken.
The drug companies, the insurance companies, and the special interests have gotten their way for far too long in Washington.
I'm Mike Cerisi. I'm running for Senate because George Bush and Norm Coleman have let special interests run things in Washington too long.
Democrat Jack Nelson Pallmeyer has nowhere near the amount of money that Cerisi and Franken have. There are no Nelson Pallmeyer TV ads. His campaign's field director, Diamo Murphy, says he doesn't need TV to win over delegates. Instead, he says it's a matter of person-to-person campaigning.
Even though some may have more money, some may be doing television, we're committed to respecting the delegate process because right now, for this period, through the endorsement, our conversation really should be with those likely delegates.
Unlike the presidential races, there will be no definitive evidence of how the DFL Senate candidates fared in the caucuses. That said, Carleton College political science professor Stephen Scheer says as information about caucus attendance trickles in, some trends might emerge.
Well, I think you want to watch and see what part of the state each of the Democratic Senate candidates does well in. I would expect that Franken has been working statewide, and it'll be interesting to see if he has statewide support. Jack Nelson Pallmeyer will probably do particularly well with Twin Cities liberals, and it'll be interesting to see what niche Mike Cerisi can find in that crowded field.
Scheer says expect each campaign to claim a great victory following the caucuses. His advice is not to believe anything until June, when convention balloting gets underway. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
And finally, more today on the soldier from Granite Falls who was killed Saturday in Afghanistan. The Pentagon originally said that friendly fire was responsible for the death of 29-year-old Matthew Ryan Kaler, but it later removed any reference to friendly fire from its statement. A spokesman says that's not because they've necessarily ruled it out, they just wanted to remove speculation from their official statement. And while the investigation continues, people who know Matt say there was never any doubt he'd be a soldier. Minnesota Public Radio's Tom Weber reports.
Matt's father, Ron Kaler, gushed about integrity when talking about his son today.
Well, and I don't mean to sound biased, but you just need to know my son was one hell of a man.
That's not to say Matt was all perfect.
And I can tell you that as an adolescent, he was a strong-willed, obnoxious pain in the ass, but, you know, who isn't? Who wasn't?
But Ron and just about anyone else who knew Matt praised him. Doug McCoss was principal at Yellow Medicine East High School when Matt went there in the mid-90s.
You remember the kids that caused a lot of problems. Those are the kids that stand out and, you know, the real, active type youngsters that are in a lot of things. And Matt was one of those students where came to school every day, did his job, you know, in terms of that. Never a behavior problem.
And no one ever doubted what Matt was going to do when he grew up. Gene Stuckel taught Matt his senior year, but was also neighbors with the Kalers for a few years.
He felt he could, you know, make a difference. And so I think from probably 8th or 9th grade on, that was his goal, was to get into the military, which is what he did.
Matt enlisted in the Army, in fact, after his junior year in high school. And from that point on, he found a way to balance two commitments, family and military. Matt shipped off to basic training before his high school graduation. His father, Ron Kaler, remembers Matt getting leave to marry his high school sweetheart, Vicky, but also being on call during the ceremony.
And he walked to the front of the church and, you know, as any good soldier would, had his pager on. And before the service started, the Pastor Kinzel looked at him and said, you need to shut that off for at least the next 45 minutes. And so, of course, he shut it off for the next 45 minutes.
Matt and Vicky then moved overseas with his various assignments. He later became a platoon leader. In 2003, just a few hours before parachuting into northern Iraq at the start of the war, he learned Vicky was pregnant. He got home on leave 2 hours before Allison was born and then shipped back out 10 days later. Matt Kaler's death is also affecting the small town where he lived for so long, regardless of the fact that Matt hasn't actually lived there in more than a decade. The editor of the weekly newspaper in Granite Falls noted there was an empty feeling in town today, and everyone was talking about it. Ron Kaler says his son never wavered on why he felt it was important to serve. Matt was on his third tour of duty, after all. The last time Ron and Matt saw each other was last Easter, when Matt was at Fort Benning, Georgia, for some training. Ron recalls Matt talking passionately about Al-Qaeda as thugs and hoodlums who have to be defeated.
And he said, I don't ever want my daughter, my wife, my family, or anyone else in the world, not just the United States, in the world, to have to live with that kind of evil. And he gave his lifetime doing what he believed in.
There's no word at this point on when or where Matt's funeral will be. Tom Weber, Minnesota Public Radio News, St. Paul.
And that's your Polycast for this Tuesday. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.